Welcome to Ancient Future Faith with Dr. Chris Alford, pastor of Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community in Sacramento. Just what is ancient future Christian faith? Join Chris each week as he talks with special guests about a refreshing renewal in evangelical worship and spirituality that's helping many believers get in touch with their ancient Christian heritage. Now, with another look at how the road to the evangelical future runs through the ancient past, here's Dr. Chris Alford.
Well, hi there, folks, and welcome back to another edition of Ancient Future Faith. My name is Chris Alford, and I'm the host of the program, also the very blessed guy who gets to be the pastor of Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community in Sacramento, California. Each week on this program, brought to you by the Ministry of Epiclesis, we love to bring you guests to talk about this thing called ancient future faith. And recently, I put out the word to our Ancient Future Faith Network, which you can also learn about, by the way, by going to the website ancientfuturefaithnetwork.org, to ask our members who might be interested in letting me interview them to talk about their work in ancient future faith and what they're doing in their life and ministry. And very happily, one of my good buddies and colleagues in the Ancient Future Faith Network, Dr. Glenn Collard, wrote back to me, and I'm very happy to have him on the line today. Dr. Glenn, calling from Charlotte, North Carolina. How are you today?
Good, thank you. It's good to be in touch.
Oh, it's good to hear your voice. Glenn, you're doing a lot of things with and for the Ancient Future Faith Network and also your own ministry called Coram Deo. We'll get to that in just a second, but I thought that folks might like to hear a little bit about you and your story. Just before we came on the air, I was asking you where you were from, and that's kind of a difficult question because you've been a lot of places and done a lot of things in your life. But just take a few minutes, if you would, and tell us everything we need to know about Dr. Glenn Collard. Would you bring us up to date?
Oh, that's quite a challenge when you ask that question of an old guy. Life has been long and fruitful, and when you ask the question of a missionary, where is he from, that throws him into all kinds of consternation. So you and I have talked about that, as I have lived in many places in the United States. Well, I should say three different states in the United States before my wife and I moved to Europe in 1990. And we lived there until 2004. After that, we moved back to the United States and settled in the Charlotte area, and we've been here since 2004. So that, in a nutshell, our movings and goings around. All of that was following the Lord's direction in our life that has taken us through years of ministry that began in Christian education and in music in the church and in education musically and teaching in schools. And eventually, pastoral ministry and moving on to into mission, so that we now, as of next month, will be have been in missions for 32 years.
Wow.
So that's kind of how things have gone for us.
Glenn, if I'm remembering rightly, one of the connections that we have in our community of faith at Epiclesis with you and Diane, your wife, is that one of our elders' wives was a student of yours back in the day when you are a public school music teacher. Is that right? Do I have that right?
Mostly. It wasn't a public school. It was a Christian school.
Ah, okay.
But yes, you're right.
And you also spent time as a music minister in roughly the Bay Area. Am I right about that one?
Yes, right.
And these days you find yourself living in Charlotte, North Carolina. But before that, for a number of years, and let's focus on this just for a moment if we can, you were in international missions. Tell us a little bit about what you did. I know there's a lot there, and we could spend the whole program on that, but I'd love for folks just to get a sense of what you did internationally and with the organization that you were with at the time.
Well, the focus of what I did in terms of the ministry function when I was in Europe, but actually I have served in at one time or another over that 32 years in 60 different countries.
Wow.
So, but my years in Europe are the main part of those years. And I was involved in church planting, working with church planters, training church planters, and biblical education. I helped to form a couple different schools in Europe. And the mission I was with was very strongly involved in biblical education and leadership development. All of that is sort of wrapped up in the total of what I did in missions.
Folks, you're listening to an interview with Dr. Glenn Collard. He and his wife, Diane, live in Charlotte, North Carolina. I'm talking with him via telephone today on this edition of Ancient Future Faith. Glenn has been a lot of places and done a lot of things, and he was just talking to you just a moment ago about his life in missions. These days, though, he finds himself doing something a little different. Although I think, Glenn, if you look back, as I often do, and think about how it is that God brought me through various times and trials and jobs and skills, all of it works together, doesn't it? Folks, these days, Glenn is working in Charlotte, North Carolina. I want you to tell him a little bit about what brought you to this particular ministry, and let's talk about your ministry right now.
Well, in 2015, I finished a 10-year commitment with Community Bible Study, and I was working in the international part. I had been the regional director over North and Central America and the Caribbean, and then they moved me to responsibilities over Europe again. So when I finished all of that, I was at a point where I wanted to really come to investing strongly in the last stage of my life. Then I, in 2015, I turned 70 years old. So I concluded that I wanted to give whatever this last stage happens to be, Lord only knows, of course, I wanted to give that strongly to developing this concept of unity within the Church of Jesus Christ and relating that through the practice and the teachings and the lives and the communications written from our early church fathers, because I feel like a lot of the process that has been developed by them has been somewhat overlooked, I should say, fairly significantly overlooked in particularly non-traditional churches. And so that brought me into that direction and that idea. And then meeting Chris and some others there at the church in Epiclesis in Sacramento, discovered the Ancient Future Faith Network and began to align myself with them in cooperation of several areas. And that has resulted in my ministry that I call Cloister, which is a monthly gathering of various leaders of many different denominations, and we talk about ancient future faith principles and practices and consider what might be appropriate from our past in a way that would be fitting to their contemporary ministry, giving it shape and substance a little bit further than what they might be having at the time. So bringing all that together in the sense of unity, because I am really concentrating on and centered on, committed to the prayer of Jesus in John 17 when he prayed for his church, that we would be one as he and the Father were one. It distresses me to see so much division within the church. And when we emphasize the unity of the church, we're really talking about the core essentials. And it is those core essentials that we focus on and choose to ignore the things that become preferential of how we do certain things in our own particular churches, whether denominationally or whatever the case may be. So that really is the focus in how I got there in a thumbnail sketch.
Regarding ancient future faith, is interest in the early church fathers, church history, theology, that kind of thing, something that had been growing in you over the years, or something that really has captured your attention more so in later years? I know you described meeting us and getting to know us at Epiclesis and that kind of thing, but I have an inkling that some of this has been an interest of yours for a long time. I don't know, but I'd like to ask.
Yes, you are correct. This has been a growing thing since I last pastored a church in California before I went into missions. And from that point, I can identify from that point forward, I have continued to find myself going down the road of looking for church unity, looking for the bigger body of Christ rather than my own small turf. And that has led me step by step, particularly in international settings. As I said, I've been in 60 countries in 32 years, and experiencing the Church of Jesus Christ in various cultural settings, I am just astounded by the oversight of the Holy Spirit to keep the promise of Jesus to his church. When he said, "I will build my church," then it becomes the commission of the Holy Spirit in every generation to make that promise realized. And so I've just been fascinated to see all of that. looking through a missiological grid that says all of Scripture is a demonstration, from Genesis to Revelation, is a demonstration of the act of God to bring a people to himself from every tongue, tribe, and nation. And seeing all that at work has just been a privilege, and that which has steered me largely back to our roots, and to embrace those and bring them forward to say, much like Vincent of Lerins concluded in the 4th century, that what we have believed is everywhere, always, and by all, is what we conclude are the elements of unity within the Church of Jesus Christ. So today, for instance, in my cloister, we are embracing the Eastern Orthodox Church as well as the West, and we've had some really interesting and very vibrant experiences together.
Well, I want to talk about that cloister here in just a second, but first let me say and remind folks that they're listening to an interview with Dr. Glenn Collard. Glenn has been in ministry most all of his life in one way or the other. He's on the phone with me today from Charlotte, North Carolina, where he heads up a new ministry he calls Coram Deo International. We'll certainly get into that in just a moment. But Glenn, you mentioned something called the cloister, and folks, he was being really modest earlier, because the fact is, Glenn pretty much invented the idea of the cloister for the Ancient Future Faith Network. And the cloister is an idea that sort of sprang to all of our heads at the same time, but Glenn worked it out, that we want to have interest groups around the country who have an affinity for ancient future faith and talking about ancient future things. And we're having these little groups spring up around the country. These folks are associated with the Ancient Future Faith Network, but aren't necessarily members. Glenn himself is, as is his wife. But this first group, this first cloister, this first interest group sprang up out of the fertile mind of Dr. Glenn Collard in the Charlotte, North Carolina area. Glenn, tell us a little bit about how that cloister came to be, and then I do want to segue and get your thoughts on what you're doing now with Coram Deo International.
We're just starting our 4th year, so in other words, we're finishing our 3rd year as a cloister. We started in January, it might have been February of 2000, would that be 15, I guess. And I started with 3 or 4 people, and they were ones that the Lord had brought to my attention who live in my area. And I thought it would be good to get together and have a conversation and interact with each other. And so we sat down at a local coffee shop and began to discuss various things. And we just found an immediate bond and affinity with each other. And I was coming from a non-denominational position, and one was coming from a Lutheran, and another one from, I think, Presbyterian, I've forgotten. But we started talking, and it just captured our imagination for what it might really ultimately become. So we started working in that direction and meeting on a regular basis, and by the fall of that year, we had formally formed the cloister and began what has become now 3 years of living this out. And we've had some really fascinating and very good things that we've done. And as I say, I'm moving in the direction of embracing the Eastern Orthodox Church in with what we're doing as ways of recognizing and embracing the people of God wherever they are and from wherever they come.
And as a result of that cloister planting in Charlotte, we're seeing other cloister groups form around the country. We hope that their tribe will increase, and we have Dr. Glenn Collard to thank for that. We should also mention that we presented Glenn with the first ever Robert E. Weber Award from the Ancient Future Faith Network for his work in the cloisters. And folks, if you have questions and would like more information about the Ancient Future Faith Network or the cloisters, just zip over to the website ancientfuturefaithnetwork.org. You'll find a lot of information there. Glenn, in our remaining moments, I'm hoping that you will talk with us about your ministry, Coram Deo. What does it mean, for heaven's sakes, and what is it that you're doing with it? You've already done some talking about how the unity of the church and reaching out to folks of different denominational stripes is something that's important to you. But talk to us a little bit about Coram Deo International, what you're doing right now.
Coram Deo is a Latin phrase. It literally can be translated before the face of God or sometimes in the presence of God. And the idea with international, of course, is to look for opportunities to expand the ministry internationally, particularly to Europe, because I've spent so many years in Europe.
Right.
Europe is heavily on my heart, and I have a big and deep concern for Europe. And so, consequently, the word international fits there. Now, It's bigger than I've been able to get to, but it is a goal, and as the Lord provides, I would try to extend in that direction. So I try to focus my own life in the sense of living consciously in the presence of God or before the face of God and trying to orient my thinking, my life habits, my motivations, the things I pursue in ways that would be pleasing to the Lord, as though I am still just mindful of the fact that I am directly before his face. And the unity that I was talking about is the essence of what Coram Deo is designed to be and to become, and it's to encourage others who are willing to consider these same ideas to be part of Coram Deo and the cloister. The cloister actually is one aspect of the larger picture of Coram Deo. It is the most dynamic piece that I have at this point, so I'm concentrating on that. I'm also spending a lot of time building individual relationships with people, leaders, and seeking to attract them into regular commitment and attendance to the cloister. And at this point, I have actually 59 names on my list of people who are continually invited to be part of the cloister. And so I'm working at trying to develop these individual relationships and point people through cloister and Coram Deo back to the early church to bring it forward and consider what is appropriate for their contemporary ministry.
So, Glenn, what does your sort of daily activity for Coram Deo look like? It sounds like you're doing a lot of consulting, coming along beside pastors and other worship leaders and church leaders and lay people, I'm sure, as well, to talk about this thing called ancient future faith. But give us a little thumbnail sketch of some of the nuts and bolts of what is it that you actually do with Coram Deo on a day-to-day or week-to-week basis.
Yeah, well, you touched on it in what you just said. There is a consulting aspect to it. There is a mentoring aspect and coaching aspect with individuals. There is encouragement and motivation that comes collectively as we meet as a cloister once a month. And there are some writings as a part of that. So my days and weeks are filled with those kinds of varied activities, all aimed at the vision that I've tried to lay out for you as to what Coram Deo is all about.
Folks, if you'd like to get more information about Coram Deo International, let me give you that website. It's Coram, C-O-R-A-M, Deo, D-E-O, International, all one word, CoramDeoInternational.com. Go over to that website, learn more about Glenn and his ministry, consider giving to his ministry as well, and learn more about how ancient future faith is informing and invigorating the life of ministry that Glenn has right now. Glenn, I'd like to pick your brains just for a minute about ancient future faith. I love to ask guests this question, and basically it's this: what does ancient future faith mean for you, and how is it, if at all, that you see ancient future faith being the way forward, as my mentor, Dr. Robert E. Weber, used to say? I know this is something that you're passionate about, and I love to hear people just give their own take on this thing called ancient future faith.
Thank you for the question. First of all, I consider myself a missiologist. I think through that grid in terms of ministry, and I recognize that church history is that which becomes the living out of the command that Jesus gave to his church when he said, as we typically call it, the Great Commission, go into the world and preach the gospel and make disciples of all nations. I find that the elements of the early church that bring a renewed interest and a renewed motivation to follow through with that and to recognize how varied that is worked out, has been worked out over the centuries from various cultures, countries, people groups around the world. It's just absolutely fascinating to me, and it becomes part of the motivation, I think, for myself to continue to engage in the bigger plan and purpose of God, as I already alluded to when I said God is about forming a people for his own possession. And he's doing that from every tongue, tribe, and nation. So that really drives me. That's a motivating force for me. And I think that we've also, in the non-traditional church of Americans especially, we have lost a sense of what it means to belong to a continuity of the church.
Yes.
We tend to assume that because our country is a new country, as countries go in the world, we're not very old and we don't have a long history. And so we constantly look at, let me say it this way. I learned when I lived in Europe, Europeans relate to their past deeply, and they have a long view of their past, and they look to the future in a rather limited fashion, and not as comparatively as long as they look at their past. In other words, it's important to them to know where they belong in the continuity of their culture and perpetuation of that, as opposed to Americans who have a very short past, and we look to the future as wide open, unending, and conquerable in any way that we conceive a vision for the future. So it's when we do that, when we look, if we were to embrace both those ideas and combine them into one picture for ourselves, to embrace the past and then look to the future of where God wants to take us, then I think it gives us something more stable than perhaps we might have been otherwise as we try to form our own plan and picture there. So that's how I look at it.
Well, I think my mentor was right. The road to our Christian future does run through our Christian past. And the more we look to our past and get a good grounding and foundation in our Christian heritage, how the saints who came before us hammered out the faith in a world that looks an awfully lot like ours, it will help ground us in such a way that we can spring forth into the future. Folks, if you're interested in learning more about this thing called Ancient Future Faith, I invite you to zip over to the website epiclesis.org. That's the name of the church here in Sacramento that I pastor. That's epiclesis.org. If you want to learn more about the Ancient Future Faith Network, try ancientfuturefaithnetwork.org. And most especially, if you'd like to learn about Glenn Collard and his ministry at Coram Deo International, you can use the website of the same name and learn all about what Glenn Collard is doing in this season of his ministry. Glenn, it's been a blessing to have you on the program. I'm grateful. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you. I appreciate the call and the opportunity to talk these things through with you.
Well, Glenn, you've done a lot of things and been a lot of places, but most especially, I'm just proud to call you friend. So thanks for taking the time.
Thank you.
Folks, until next time, I want you to really be pondering this. The road to the future does run through the past. Until next time, the Lord be with you.
Thank you for joining us for another look at Ancient Future Faith. There is a refreshing wind of renewal blowing through the evangelical church as more and more worshipers turn for inspiration to the rich language and pattern of the ancient church, and they're rediscovering classic Christianity and learning to draw strength from a deep well of time-tested truth and tradition. Want to experience Ancient Future Faith for yourself? Join us for worship at Epiclesis in Sacramento on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. in the chapel at 4600 Winding Way. You can contact us by calling 916-572-9113 or online at epiclesis.org. That's 916-572-9113 or on the web at epiclesis.org.
Pastor Chris here with one more word before you go. The highest point in the whole Christian year is coming up soon with Holy Week and Easter Day. There are special services at Epiclesis on Palm Sunday, then worship on Monday, Thursday night, and of course on Resurrection Sunday morning. I should also mention that there is a beautiful service called the Easter Vigil Service that's on Holy Saturday at 11 p.m. also at the chapel. Find more information on the web at epiclesis.org. That's E-P-I-C-L-E-S-I-S. iclesis.org. The Lord be with you, and see you next Monday afternoon at 4 p.m. for another edition of Ancient Future Faith.